Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We are positively at Cooper's North. I've been giving these things out like they're water. It's the last day of Cup of Super Bowl. It is the Magic 8 Ball from the Maryland Lottery. Also, our friends at Wise Markets, and you can buy these at Wise Markets, also putting us out on the road this week. It's all for the Maryland Food Bank. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... about 9 bags of food so far, and we're just getting going. We have a lot of friends stopping by, even old friends that I don't even know we're going to be here today. Sheila Colson reached to me earlier this week, and Stan Gibson has been, I mean, he was like a cousin to me, like, I don't want to say like an uncle, but a little bit like an older cousin that would act like an uncle to me in the 1970s. Stan's family and my family were best friends in the whole world. My parents, I spent every Thanksgiving and Christmas night at the Gibsons' house with all the relatives, all the grandkids later. When I talk about kielbasa and sauerkraut, shout out to you, Wise Markets, for having Ostrowski. It's all because of Gert Gibson and Stan Gibson, who were Stan's parents. Stan Stock, his dad's name was Sammy Gibson. And so Sam and Gert, excuse me on that. And Sheila's here to talk about that. And she brought Vance Van Horn. And Vance is like, you remember me? I produced the Buddy Ryan LT show back in the day at Sheffield Studios. And I've been telling that. Man, there's a music connection going on here. Yeah, you worked at a music studio. And Sheila, you've known Stan a long, long time, right?
I have.
Yep. Give me your background, Sheila, first, because you're here to talk about Stan Stock, and I definitely want to do that. And it's a little early in the year for that, but never too early to get prepared.
Right.
Stan Stock is a fall festival that happens every year. It was going on. It was now Lunacy when it was the Sullivan's Place before that. And
right. Really
and you guys have moved it. You moved it up to Falston, correct?
Falston Barrel House right on Blair Road and Mountain Road. It's a great venue. We have two stages, which Stan prefers to have an outside patio and also an inside hall. And now we just started last year, we added acoustic. So all weekend we have acoustic groups like in the bar restaurant area. It's a pretty big Falston Barrel House, and we've had a lot of success there. Great owners to work with for the charity. They even donate back to Stan Stock. And they don't just let us have our event there at no cost. And they're great to all the volunteers. You know, all our musicians, bands, acoustic groups, they all volunteer.
Well, that's the thing that is amazing. I did an event last week, and I want to get your headset here right, make sure we you can hear us. But I did an event last week down at Cancun Cantina for my dear friend Ray Bachman, who was my longtime executive producer, battling cancer. Love you, Ray. You know that. And the place was mobbed, and he had like 4, maybe 5 bands donate. Surreal and several other bands. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get it. They were great. Surreal, you guys were great. He even gave me a shout out. Said, I'm an NST listener. I'm like, dude, I'm a Surreal listener. So these bands donated. It was the sweetest thing. And everybody came and gave $20 and gave donations for Ray. Mm-hmm. Beat it, GoFundMe. And better than that, Ray's doing great. So, and everybody loves him. Stan's story and the inspiration that involves him and his background in music back when we were kids, Vance, you know, in the bands.
That far
that
back.
This isn't 3 or 4 or 5 bands. I mean, this has been going on for how many years does Stan Stock happen?
It's 11 years.
11 years, and I bet some years there are 15 or 20 bands, right?
Over 35
right.
every year.
Oh, my God, I'm wrong about that. Yeah. Because it's if you go to Stan Stock, I mean, it literally is like Woodstock. It starts in the morning. It goes all day. I have to figure out what time of the day I'm going to go because I can't stay all day every day. Mm-hmm. But I see the list of bands, and then I'm looking, and I'm like, if these bands were getting paid, what would it – it would be a real – it would be like a trifecta festival, right? Mm-hmm. And all of these people love Stan, and they love what it stands for. And, Vance, I know you have something to say because you came out too. First off, it's good to see you, man.
Yeah,
we're going to tell some LT, Buddy Ryan. We're
going
to tell those stories. But when it comes to Stan and doing this, how in the hell do you get this many bands to organize to come out? And I tell everybody, if you want a great weekend of music, participate in it. And this is – as street, as Baltimore as it gets. And it's blown up the last 10 years.
It's funny. It started, I got a call one day from Lee Townsend from the Ravens. And he was with Stan and he said, you know, we're going to do this thing and we're looking for a charity. And he goes, and I've remembered your charity. He goes, so, you know, can we give the money to your charity? And I went, yeah, absolutely. And this is when we were at McAvoy's in Putty Hill.
Sure. I remember that, too.
And here's his donation to the Cole Van Horn Trust Fund from Stanstock 2024.
Look at that. $10,000? Hold on. Let me hold that up. A $10,000 check. Yeah. All right, man. Yep. But, you know.
So every year they've done this and this and more. So it's incredible.
Well, tell me about your trust and how the relationship here works. And then I'll go back to Stan Stock just in general. We'll talk about Stan himself a little bit, other than my love for Stan and knowing him my whole life. I always tell Stan this story. I'll tell the story out loud. When Stan first was getting sick and wasn't doing well in his 70s, he was home a lot. And he was always out with bands and always out in the music community. And I got two stories about Stan Gibson, because you know I love you, Stan. And I've told these once or twice. Did I tell you this on the – did you do my show a couple years ago?
No, I don't think
so. One of your other dudes did the show, and I told him the story. One of other people on your committee did the show. So when I was a boy, on Thanksgiving night every year, we would go to their house. And, you know, I would have been an orphan child. Like, I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandparents had lost their son. So there was a lot of sympathy for my parents that I was unaware of in the 70s, because everybody knew they had buried a child, right? And I was a bit of a replacement child, and I was precocious and loud and obnoxious and Venezuelan and all the things that I am now. But I would go up to the Gibson's house, and we would always – there would always be leftovers. We didn't eat the meal with them, but after the meal was like a family Polish celebration. Everybody came by, neighbors came by, leftovers. Mr. Sam would bring me into the kitchen, little galley kitchen they had on Bank Street, and he would have the crock pot with the sauerkraut and kielbasa. Well, this was before Stan got sick. Stan was putting together a plate of Thanksgiving food for one of his best pals, and it was a DJ. It was a DJ named Kurt Anderson, or Curtis
He's
Anderson.
He's told me this story.
Curtis Anderson was on the air at WWIN. And this was over right off North Avenue, really not a great area, right? North Avenue, just north of North Avenue, you know, mid-central city, where the old Dunbar Poets Club was. And we went back into that neighborhood on Thanksgiving night. And I had to see my parents, can I go for a ride? And Stan said, I'm going to take you to a radio station. That's 1976, maybe 77, maybe 78, but I was 8 or 9 or 10 years old, a little boy. Stan threw me in his little beater car. We had a plate of food because his buddy was working live radio on Thanksgiving night, and he wanted to deliver it. And I'll never forget this. Curtis Anderson brought me into the studio. I'm a little boy, and it was a live. It was the first time I was ever in a radio. Now, I've made my life in radio, you know, 33 years later. But I'm in there, and I remember him opening it up, and he was talking about the mashed potatoes. And he probably was spinning some Earth, Wind, and Fire. Mm. And there is never a time, Stan Gibson, that I hear Earth, Wind, and Fire, Serpentine Fire, and I don't think of you. Because first time I'd ever heard Earth, Wind, and Fire in my life was because of Stan. So that night, and then Stan got sick, and I was home, and I remember my mom telling me Stan was sick and we needed to do something nice for him. And I decided that I love strawberry shortcake, but I thought, I'm going to get creative. This is my Chopped episode. I made him a blueberry shortcake. Don't ask me how I made it, but he remembers it. And I remember taking it up to his bed when he was like sick, not doing well back in the day. So, I mean, I've known Stan, this is 50 years ago, 45 years ago that I remember, and to think that he has put together this legacy along with his friends that is this really an institution of Baltimore festivals now, right? I mean, there's not a longer – I mean, Paul Mann has done a great job with this trifecta festival, and people do things, and my several species –
But we're two whole days.
Yeah, there's nothing like this, right,
at
all.
It's pretty unusual.
Yeah. So you got bands booked this year? You got a date? What, you got anything?
We just started working on it.
You don't have your date yet?
Yes.
You do?
We're always the weekend after Labor Day.
Always.
That's Saturday and Sunday.
I didn't know that. Yes. All right. So I thought it may have something to do with the Ravens schedule or something like that. Nah, you don't worry about that.
Well,
sometimes they're home, sometimes they're away.
We talk about it every year, but
the games are on television there, too. So.
Oh, right. Good point.
Yep.
So we'll be back at Falston Barrel House for sure.
Yes.
Okay, and it'll be the second weekend of September. Mm-hmm. It is Stan Stock. Just Google it. You can find out about it. I want to flirt with Vance here a little bit about the old days now. So it was 1997. 1997, right?
You're asking me. I can't remember my name, let alone.
It was 1997.
It was a long time ago.
It was 1997. I know it was 97 because I remember the year.
Right.
Definitely 97. I had a guy reach to me in September.
Okay.
And I got a cryptic email, and it was from a professor in North Carolina. And he reached to me and he said, I see that you once did a television show with Buddy Ryan and Lawrence Taylor about gambling. And I'm like, what does this guy want? Well, he's writing a book. So he's writing a book about how gambling worked its way into where on every television here and right. at the bar we're all gambling, right? Where it came from this illicit place back when we were doing this show. And he found that he wanted to know my role in it and Lawrence Taylor and Buddy Ryan and who this Mike Warren Lasky guy was, like the whole story. And I said, I'll tell you everything you want to know, but we have to do it on the air. So this is my little thing. I'm like, this has got to be shtick because nobody asks me about this. And now I found the only other – now Mike Warren and I have reconnected. And he almost did the show here with me the last time I did the show here, maybe in like September, October, because we had reconnected. We haven't done it. I invited him out. He wasn't feeling well enough, and he couldn't do it. But I think Mike's going to come on. Mike's in his 80s now. Mike called me sharp as a tack, wants to do a gambling show again. Like, seriously, Mike's – my only experience with Mike were those 20 weeks of my life where I did this television show with you.
That was crazy.
And I told the story about it to this – author, and I did an hour of radio and I released it back, maybe it was October, but I have all the videos, all the original videos, all the tapes. Will Schwartz, who is executive producer, we talked about him because Dan Roderick's in here still really close. He was Dan's executive producer for Dan's television shows on Channel 2, and he was the executive producer for Dan's stage shows that Dan Roderick's did down at the BMA. So Will Schwartz is still around, and I've been trying to get him on. He was our producer. Then what do you remember of the 18 episodes of Beat the Pros?
The one that really sticks out and that was funny, I don't know if you remember, LT. And LT would come in, and this is when his party days were still going.
They were raging.
They were raging.
Raging.
Yes. And on one of the shows, I was floor directing, and LT came in, and he was so
He fell asleep on the set.
He fell asleep on the set. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Will.
And the camera caught him.
And Will tells me in my ear, Vance, I'm going to do a close-up on Buddy. When you see the camera move in, go wake up LT. So I had to, like, crawl up with LT like asleep out cold. I shake him, and I told her, he wakes up like nothing happened. He's like, yeah, well, I think.
He popped right up, like the light on the refrigerator went on. It's true.
He was good. I mean, they were both good guys.
Oh my God, Buddy Ryan loved me. The thing I remember of that, of all of it, well, Rex then came, right? And Buddy loved me from the minute he saw me. I mean, like, I don't know why. I really don't know why. But I was intimidated by Buddy. I already admitted to the young lady that was here before, who's an Eagles fan. I was a season ticket holder when Buddy was the coach. So Buddy was Buddy Ryan to me. We're in the NFL 2 minutes at that point. It was the second year, 97. And I'm just trying to shave up, pretending. Well, here's the real story, because you can go back and watch that thing. I had never done TV in my life. And I got a call. Steve Hennessy was my producer at the time. Steve said, guy called and said he's going to do a television show with Buddy Ryan and Lawrence Taylor and wants to know if you can host it. He listens to your show. Mike Warren listened to me on the radio.
Oh, cool.
That's how he knew of me.
Yeah.
He didn't know what I looked like, anything. Yeah, you're a sharp kid. You know, Warren was, you know, Lasky. So I went out there that day having never in my life done anything on television. And I was trying to fake it, so you thought, like, I had shot a commercial or something once in my life.
You did good.
I walked in. Buddy Ryan's there, and there's they Warren was an over-the-top cat. He just was. He would bring enough food for 30 people, and there were like six of us, right? And LT was too stoned to eat anything. So usually, there were bagels and cream cheese and just all of donuts. All this food was there. And Buddy and I would sit there, and he'd tell me about yourself. So we, and before we walked downstairs to the set, I was getting powdered and made up and shaved tight, and I looked 12. I mean, I was 28, but I looked 12 years old. And I remember saying to Buddy, Mr. Ryan, I'm really nervous. Oh, come on, kid, you're going to be fine. When I got done the first segment, he looked at me. He's like, kid, you're going to be doing this the rest of your life. And he gave me so much confidence. It'll make me cry thinking about it. He loved me. And Lawrence liked me. Lawrence was great. But
you never knew which Lawrence you were getting.
Yeah. And sometimes it was a redhead, sometimes it was a blonde, brunette, sometimes all three in the limo that came with it. Yep. So he was a mess with Lawrence. But Buddy would fly in from Louisville with his horses, and we would sit and just talk about football, and he would have his USA Today out, and he'd be, well, I like this defense. Make sure we talk about this defense, Nasty. That's pretty good, Buddy. I mean, but Buddy loved me, and we did it 1 year. Never happened again. And I hadn't heard about it other than as a party story. I'd be at the bar, some guy like you come up and say, hey, remember me? I'm like, yeah, I did a show with Lawrence Taylor and Buddy Ryan. Nobody watched it. Nobody knew about it except me. It was in my newsletter, and this guy found it on the internet. He found it on the internet.
And who was the guy that was with Buddy? He was this little Goomba. There was some little.
It was his driver. It was the limo driver that was with Buddy Ryan.
No, he was with Mike.
With Mike Warren.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember that. Now, the story I told 4 months ago was about A Bronx Tale. Have you seen the movie A Bronx Tale?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Scorsese, I believe it is, or whatever it is. There's a character in that movie whose character is called Eddie the Mush. And the reason they called him Eddie the Mush is because his picks, his gambling, would turn to mush. Right? They called him Eddie the Mush. Somehow Lasky found somebody in Brooklyn that knew the guy who played the actor.
Oh.
From the movie, who really lived that kind of lifestyle. He was in a little bar at the end of the bar stool. And were you the one in charge of getting that tape every week from Eddie the Mush? Eddie the Mush made a pick. And they sent some videographer in the neighborhood. Warren paid him $200 to go down to the bar, find this guy, bring him outside, and have him read picks for the week. Do you remember this?
I kind of remember that now, yeah.
And Eddie the Mush would go outside, and he was just this an old man that needed $200, and Warren was giving him money because Warren loved the movie. So every week we're gonna have our Eddie DeMush picks, and this is Warren doing executive because if the show was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the guy now. Yeah.
So Eddie DeMush would come on. You can lock it up, throw it away. The Eagles are gonna cover the spread. They're gonna win outright. And he would do this whole thing, and we would put it into the. You were the producer of the thing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good run.
I got to wear a different jacket every week, so I thought that was kind of made me feel like a big shot back in the day. Vance Van Horn is here. Tell me about the Nicole Van Horn Trust Fund.
It's a trust fund that started when my daughter passed away from cancer. And don't get me started.
How many years ago was this?
20-something.
Okay. All right, man. My wife's a survivor, so I'm here with you, man.
Yep. So, you know, having seen what everybody went through, my wife and I started this. So we – you know, besides this, we used to have another event every year at Martin's, although Martin's went out of business where we did it. So we're going to start back up probably in the next year or two. But we basically went into Hopkins, and any child that was in there back in the day, we asked them anything they wanted. So you want a bike? You want a computer?
Make-A-Wish.
It's kind of like Make-A-Wish,
yeah.
Right? But then what happened was the HEPA laws hit. And we couldn't do that anymore. So they would say, oh, well, you can give everybody an iPad or you can give everybody, you know. And I was like, that's just not the same.
Right.
You know. So what I did was I kind of cheat. I find one person that's in the hospital. And then I say.
Oh, that would be hard for me to do if I just yell out and find the right people.
And then I just say, go in the room next to you and ask them what they want. And tell that person to go in the room next to them and ask them what they want.
And you said it.
And that's what we do.
Well, no, what I like about it too, Vance, is it's you don't just give to the sick child. It's to all the siblings that sometimes get a little forgotten because there is a sick child in the family.
You don't have to tell me. My wife had cancer, and we had a woman in the room next to us. We don't know if she's alive or not. She had five children, and she was from down in Northern Virginia. And, you know, her husband could only get up a couple, two, three. I mean, I was at my wife's bedside, her sister. But people go through this fight, and they fight.
Yeah.
They don't have a dad that loves them the way. You know, like, it's unbelievable what you can do when you're in the fight and how much every little thing means.
Yeah, until you've been through it, everybody goes, oh, I understand. I'm going,
nah,
you really don't.
You don't.
You know, it was an ugly time. But like she said, the other cool thing is, like, I'll get a call from somebody saying, oh, I'm in Hopkins. I heard about you. I had to be flown up here. I didn't bring anything with me. I don't have any way to get food. I don't have any way to – and I'll drive down to Hopkins and give them a check.
Nice. Well, that's a beautiful thing, man. I mean, people pitching in. Vance Van Horn is here on behalf of the Nicole Van Horn Trust Fund, as well as a Standstock. And I got Sheila Colson here. Standstock's going to be the second weekend of September. It's going to be up at Falston Barrel House. I highly recommend it. Stan Gibson is a lifelong friend. And that's not even why you're here. Like, you're not even an insider guest. I just shouted out, like, if anybody wants to come on, and Stan hit you, who hit me, and we were a little late putting this together, and it wound up being a real blessing to talk about.
Absolutely.
Your daughter
nice
and her memory. And all the cool crap you're doing, and the fact that you and I had bagels together with Lawrence Taylor for 20 weeks in a row. And you and I
good
remember
time.
But he doesn't. I saw Lawrence this, Actually, it was this day. It was the Friday of Super Bowl week in Miami in 2020, before the plague.
He's cleaned himself
up
a lot.
No, he's fine, yeah. And he saw me. It was very warm, and we took a picture, and he gave me a hug, and we had a fond memory. You know, we lost Buddy a long time ago. Right. And, you know, Rex and Rob just got the job out in USC. I was going to tell you this about Rex, though. When Rex and I would eat bagels during that hour and a half before we would do the show, we talk about all sorts of things. And there were no cell phones, and there was no texting. So it was just us talking, you know, really reading the paper, talking right. about the show, talking football. What are we going to say on the air? Who do you like in this game? And Rex would every week, and this would speak to the pride of a parent, right? This would speak to the pride of a parent. He would say to me, "Now my boys are out in Oklahoma. My boys are going to be good coaches now. My boys are good now." And this was in 97. And I'll be damned if in 99 Rex wasn't hired by Brian
right.
to be the linebackers coach. And the minute he got here, Rex took one look at me. He's like, "My dad told me all about you. I got to figure you out." So Rex and I, 27 years later, reason I know Rex Ryan and sat in his office every week watching film and studying tape with him and Mike Pettin was because his dad was a giver. His dad was a beautiful guy. Buddy was great, man.
He was fun.
Anybody mentions Buddy Ryan to me, I'm like, man, don't mess with Uncle Buddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you make fun of Rex and Rob, you don't mess with Buddy.
They were good times.
Because Buddy was good for me. Hey, man, great.
It's great. And
this is a cup of Super Bowl. I come out here, I can see people I don't even know I'm going to see.
I also, though, I want to point out all the bands that always play for us. That's incredible to me that all those bands play for free.
Right.
And they all care that much. People that come out and support this care that much.
And they're great bands.
Well, what impressed me as well is after COVID, when we had the first stand stock after COVID, they still came out
right.
and played for free. And they all didn't work for a couple of years because nobody could go to the bars.
Yep.
Everybody was masked.
And they still came out.
And they still, to this day, a lot of them are repeats. We try to always have new and different bands, young bands. We have different styles of music. You might hear country. You might hear blues.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When I look at the list, it's not any.
It's got everybody.
It's a complete, you know, festival, and you have to pick, you know, your bands out there at a certain time, go see them play. But make sure you're doing that. Second weekend of September, Standstock. Is the website Standstock?
Standstock.org.
My thanks to Bill here is coming through, too, for giving me Sports Illustrated, man. I appreciate you. Look, you got a John Steadman book here, man. I'm going to hold this up here. This is my heart here. Did your lottery ticket win or no? You didn't win? No. You haven't scratched it yet. All right, man. This has been like old home week here. Folks bringing stuff from the Maryland Food Bank and being kind to us. We really appreciative. I'm going to step out, take a break so I can say goodbye to folks. Vance, thank you very much. Appreciate you. All right. Sheila here. It's all for Standstock and our friends here. We're at Cooper's North. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the scratch-offs. It's the Magic 8-Ball. It's been lucky so far. Did I give you two? Did you guys get your card? Did you get yours? No, you didn't get yours? There you go. You got them. All right. It's also brought to you by Wise Markets. It's for the Maryland Food Bank. A cup of Super Bowl. We're here. WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Back for more from Cooper's in Timonium, as the coach would say.